Thank you, Adam. It is good to be with you here. To see each one of you here, you know, this is the kind of time of the year that we look forward to when summer's coming to an end. Yesterday, we took the grandkids to a little pumpkin patch out here at McDonald's Ranch. And, you know, it was such a beautiful day. It's in the desert, and you could, I think my wife got a good picture of it. You can see the mountains in the background and the clouds, and such a beautiful day. Last month, I was in charge of a prayer service, and I'm going to use a few of my comments from that service today in my sermon. You know, during one of our Sunday school classes here not too long ago, it was brought up if there would be animals in the afterlife. And not that we thought that animals had a soul, because we did not believe that, but just part of our discussion. And the scriptures tell us that there will be animals in the millennium. And we can read that in 2 Nephi chapter 12 and verse 92. And it says, "And then shall the wolf dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Obviously, these animals are going to be changed, aren't they? No longer are they going to be vicious. And I look at it talks about the leopard. You know, the leopard in nature is very bloodthirsty. There's been many cases in Africa and places where there's leopards, where there will be a whole pen full of sheep, maybe 30 sheep. And the leopard goes in and kills every one of them. And I'm sure it drags one off to eat, but it enjoys killing. And kind of unusual for an animal to do that. Normally, the lion normally hunts to eat, but it's going to take, God is going to take this bloodthirsty animal and take that away from them, where they could lay down with the child. And, you know, I have always wanted to have a pet rhino and a pet tiger. And, you know, to have my tiger beside me and my rhino kind of got my tail back there following along behind me. And, you know, maybe I'll get to have that in the millennium. Probably not, but it's, you know. Then the question is brought up, will there be animals in heaven? And in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." We see this is after the final judgment, and this is the dwelling place for the righteous. But we also see the scriptures don't tell us if there will be animals there. You know, I really don't think so, but anything is possible. And, of course, that's in God's hands. But, you know, these kind of things are, you know, these are thinkings of the mortal man. Obviously, in the kingdom of heaven, we will be immortal, and things will be different. Oh, we won't be worrying about these kind of things. We'll be dwelling in the kingdom of heaven. And I'll talk about that a little later, this glory of the kingdom of heaven. But we have to remember that in this life, our main goal is to obtain that kingdom of heaven. That is what is most important, to do whatever it takes in this life, in serving God and following God, to obtain that kingdom of heaven. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." God knows those that are his. He knows our hearts. He knows everything about us. You know, in this life, there's a lot of deception, isn't there? Secret combinations. You know, in this life, we can deceive others, but we can never deceive God. He knows. And it tells us here, depart from iniquity. The Lord is commanding us to do that. And you know, God describes iniquity in a number of scriptures, doesn't he? I'm going to read one here in Romans chapter 1 and verses 29 through 31. And it's got a whole list of things. It says, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. A whole list of things. And some of them I'd have to look up the Greek word to see exactly what it means. But these are things the Lord is telling us not to do. And we know there's other scriptures and other things the Lord's telling us, you know, what is sin and what we're not supposed to do. I want to read verse 32 now, Romans chapter 1, verse 32, the very next verse. And it says, who knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I'm going to read this one more time. Who knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I'm going to talk about this, more about this scripture later. And you know, the way it's worded, you know, today we wouldn't word it just like that. But the meaning is there, and we'll talk about that later. And today I want to talk about two examples of sin. And the first one is abortion. And it's a pretty hot topic today, isn't it? And maybe sometimes we really don't want to talk about it, do we? But it's in the news every day. Every day. If you're listening to the news, it's there every day. Every day. And there was a college poll conducted last month, and it was the 25 most controversial topics in college. They gave this to college students. 25 things. Number one was gun control. That's the most controversial to them. Number two was abortion. I will have to agree, abortion is a very controversial subject. Or maybe contentious is a better way to describe it. But here we are in 2022. One of the biggest things on the news is abortion. How did we get to this point? How did we get here? Most political campaign commercials talk about abortion. Candidates are either in favor of it or they are opposed to it. And these commercials, those that are opposed to abortion are considered to be evil. One commercial about one of the candidates says that they are seriously dangerous. because they're opposed to abortion. And you know, this one issue could very well determine who is elected to a lot of these offices. People are taking a stand, one way or the other. In June of this year, the Poll Research Center took a poll. And according to them, 61% of U.S. adults say abortion should be legal in all or most cases. They are saying 61% from their poll. Other polls will give you different numbers. But we know it's a lot. Now we know that the overturning of Roe versus Wade has caused an uproar in this nation. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. This is talking about 2022. We are living in this time. They are calling good evil and evil good. We can see it in this example. You can see it in many examples in the world today. Evil is good, and good is evil. The deception. People have been led away by the temptations of Satan. Oh, they have their justifications because of this or that. It's okay. You know, the hearts of an embryo start beating after 5 or 6 weeks of a pregnancy, which is pretty soon after conception. I know for both of our grandchildren, Katie has sent us the little videos on our cell phones. And you can see the smallest little thing in there. And the little heart is just beating away. How can they say this is not a living person? Let's see what the scriptures say. Let's see what God says about this. In Isaiah chapter 49, in verse 1 and verse 5, it says, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant." We see here that God is talking about Isaiah. He's not talking about Isaiah as a young boy or a man. He is talking about him when he is in the womb. It says that the Lord formed me in the womb. That God is mindful of Isaiah. obviously God had control of that. He knew Isaiah would be born and be a prophet. But what would he have thought if somebody would have wanted to abort Isaiah? Let's read now in Jeremiah, and it even goes a little bit farther in this. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. This is going farther back in time. Before the Lord formed Jeremiah in the belly. I don't pretend to understand this, how this works, how God knows this. But we know He's all powerful and knows all things.